Tonight, our lesson is going to be about seeking God. In order to really know Him, we have to seek after Him. He will reveal Himself to us if we will seek Him. And as we go through this tonight, we'll see several things about how we seek Him, why we seek Him, what it is we're to seek, and what we get as we seek Him. But the Scriptures are clear that it is our responsibility to seek after Him. And it's interesting that it's who begins the seeking. Do we seek Him first, or does He seek us first? What is it that causes us to begin to seek Him? So let's start in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, we'll see that it's not natural for us to seek Him. In Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. The reality of it is that no person on their own seeks after God. We all go our own way and we do our own thing. There's nobody who on their own is righteous. Nobody really understands God and what He's like and what He wants from us. And none of us on our own go after Him. He has to begin it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. God seeks us first, and at some point He catches us. And when He catches us and reveals Himself to us, then we begin to seek Him. But on our own, we never would, because we are so corrupted by sin that we want nothing to do with Him until He opens our eyes to the truth. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. What happens is that before the foundation of the world, before the world was even framed, before the first building blocks were put in place, before God even dug out the foundations of the world to set that in place, He chose us in Christ. And He predestined us to be adopted as His sons one day. He started all this before there was anybody, before there was a world, before there was a star, before there was outer space, before there was a person. He started all this in motion. And He chose us in Christ all the way back then, when it was just God and nothing else. And then in time, as we was going along, running from Him, not seeking after Him, He sought after us. Because He chose us and He set this in motion all the way back before He started creating the world. And then He reveals to us the truth. And at that point, we believe on Him for the first time. And we put our faith in Him. And when we do that, that is when we begin to seek Him for the first time. After He saves us from our sin. Then we want Him, and we want to be near Him, and we begin to seek Him. Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him or to please God. There's no way that we can please God without faith. The Scripture says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." God saves us by His grace through our faith. But even that faith is part of God's gift to us, so that we can't even boast about that. So, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's when we first begin to have faith in Him that we become pleasing to Him and we begin to seek after Him. It's really interesting. I used to think that the flip side of this, that without faith it is impossible to please God, I used to think that the opposite of that was, or that what that meant, if you turned it around, was without faith that it is possible to please Him. But now I don't think that's what it really means. What I think it means is, if you flip it around, is with faith, it is impossible to displease Him. Once we trust Him and believe in Him, He makes us righteous before Him. And He gives us the righteousness of Jesus. And at that point, there is no way for us to displease Him. And we will begin to seek Him. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe. When we first make our move towards God is when we first believe in Him. When we believe in Him, that's when we realize that we need Him and that we need Jesus to save us from our sins, right? It's at that point where we first recognize that I'm a sinner. And as a result of my sin, God should punish me for an eternity in hell. And then we realize also, He teaches us that He gave His Son, Jesus, to pay for our sins so that we could be acceptable to Him. And when we see that, we recognize that about ourselves, we recognize what He did for us so that we could be acceptable to Him, then we repent of our sin and we what? Believe. We believe on Him. So, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The ones of us who are going to seek Him are the ones of us who have believed on Him. And then when we believe Him and we get saved, how much we seek Him is based on how much we believe that He will reward us if we do seek Him. That seeking is not a waste of our time, right? That's what He says. That He is a rewarder of those who what? How did we seek Him?
Diligently.
So we've got to believe enough that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him that we're willing to diligently seek Him. What does it mean to diligently seek? What does diligent mean?
Purposefully.
Press on.
Continue.
Not give up. Press. You know, Paul talks about that in another place. He says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is a pushing. It is a seeking after. It is a continuous, diligent seeking. That's what God expects from us. He expects us to diligently seek after Him, to look for Him, to find Him, to find out what He's doing and what He wants for us, to go after Him. So it's important that we believe, that we have faith, that we trust. We've talked about this a number of times, the important role that belief and faith plays even after salvation. Oftentimes we focus, I think, too much on the role that belief has in salvation, and we forget that it has just as important a role in every day of our life after salvation. We don't just get saved by faith, but we what? We live by faith. So it's by faith that we first seek Him, and it's by faith that we seek Him throughout our Christian life. And if we seek Him diligently, we know that He will reward us. We know that we will get great things from that. And we'll look at some other passages here in a minute, but there's lots of things to seek after in this world. And very few of them actually result in a reward worth having. You ever thought about that? How worthless most rewards that we seek actually are? Just about the whole book of Ecclesiastes is about that idea. That all of these things are really just a vapor. That they're just grasping after the wind. That they're of no value. They're vain and empty. But those kinds of things tend to be what we seek. And we think that when we get what we seek after, we've gotten some kind of reward worth having. But Ecclesiastes will straighten us out on that. All those rewards, no matter how many of them we actually grasp, are worthless. That the only reward worth having is that reward that we get from diligently seeking after Him. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." That's important both in salvation and, I believe, in our Christian lives. The Lord says, seek Him and call upon Him when He's near. When He comes to us and reveals to us our sin, we need to seek Him then. That's our opportunity to be saved. But I also think that throughout our Christian life, there is something about, there are times when God is near and present and we can seek Him and things happen, and there's times when it seems that He's not. I don't understand how all that works, and I'm not going to try to figure out, explain all the details of when that is and when it isn't. But when we know that He's near, we need to seek Him. We don't need to put it off. When He's speaking to us and when He's leading us, we need to go after what He's leading us to do. We need to seek that while He's near, while He's there. Because He doesn't always have things for us to do. That's that thing that we've talked about where we need to be watching and praying and looking for what He's doing, so when He asks us to do something, we're there and we're ready and we follow it. We need to seek Him while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. It seems as if we ignore Him long enough, that some sort of distance is built up there. Some sort of, the relationship is hurt in such a way that until we repent, we can't seek after Him well. So the idea here is that we don't need to put Him off. When He comes to us, we need to go after Him. And when we do seek Him, how should we seek? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Interesting, you put those two things together, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and this idea of seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. I think those two things kind of go together. As we diligently seek Him, there's this closeness in the relationship, and we can find Him and have access to Him really closely and easily. And as we stop seeking Him, as we go our own way, it becomes more difficult for us to get into His presence and experience Him. And when we do seek Him, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. "But from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. When we seek the Lord, if we want to find Him, if we want to really get to know Him, if we want Him to reveal Himself to us and open up to us, when we seek Him, He expects us to seek Him with all of our heart and all of our soul. Can anybody think of another verse that's very similar to that? Yeah. We're talking about loving the Lord our God. You know, the two great commandments, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And when it's talking about loving the Lord your God, it talks about loving Him with all of your heart and all of your soul. That's the kind of desire that our God wants us to have for Him. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to seek Him diligently. He doesn't want us to just seek Him when it's convenient. He doesn't want us to just seek Him from time to time. He wants us to seek Him diligently, continually, continue to press on. And when He comes close to us, that we'll come close to Him. We won't pass up those times. And when we seek Him, that we'll seek Him with our complete heart and mind focused on Him. He doesn't want half-hearted seekers. What He will reveal of Himself to us is somehow dependent upon how much we want it. If we don't really want it very much, He's not going to reveal very much. But if we want it really bad, He will be faithful to reveal Himself. Turn to 1 Chronicles 28. It's just a few books to the right. 1 Chronicles 28. Verse 9. This is David speaking to Solomon. It says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever." When we seek after God, He will be found by us. When we seek Him diligently, when we seek Him as He's near, when we seek Him with all of our heart and our soul, then He will be found. Why do we seek after God? To find Him. That's the reward for seeking after Him. When it says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek them, what is the reward? Him.
God.
He's the reward. He's it. What greater reward can there be? And when we seek Him, He actually gives of us more of Himself. And there is no greater reward in the world. That's what it's all about. The whole thing is all about us getting to experience Him. And there's nothing better. Now, it's interesting here. When He's talking to Solomon, He talks about how, He says, you know the God of your father. When we seek Him, if we continue to seek Him diligently with all of our heart and mind, we will get to know Him. There is no greater experience on earth than to know God. And as He reveals Himself to us, there is nothing more fulfilling than that. There is nothing greater than to know that God is revealing Himself to you. And when you read the Scriptures, when they just come alive and they jump out at you and you see God in them, and when you go out into the world and you look into creation and you see God and His power and His majesty, and you go into a quiet place and you sit and you experience Him, there is no better reward than that. He's it. He's the reason why we seek. And when we seek Him, He reveals Himself to us and we come to know Him. And it's important that we know Him. You know why? Because He knows us. It says here that the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. He understands us completely. And it's important that we understand Him. And as we do, then that will create in us a loyal heart and a willing mind, as he talks about here. It says, know the Lord your God and have a loyal heart and a willing mind, because He knows you and He knows your heart and He knows your intentions and He knows your thoughts. So when we seek Him, we need to seek Him honestly. Because if we seek Him under a pretense, if we seek Him to impress other people, if we seek Him to get other things from Him other than Him, He knows that. We can't trick Him. We need to make sure that our seeking is from a loyal heart and from a willing mind. And if it is, then we'll get that great reward of knowing Him. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is just another way of saying what we've already been saying. The first and foremost and primary thing that we need to be seeking in life is God Himself. Him, His kingdom, His righteousness. We need to be seeking Him diligently, with all of our heart and all of our mind, with a pure heart that wants Him and not just what He's able to provide for us. Now, I have made the mistake before of thinking that, well, a lot of these things that I'm seeking after are good and needful things, and God would be okay with that. But when I read these verses that led up to this verse, I realized that He's saying, don't seek after these good and needful things. Seek Me ahead of all these things, and I'll take care of you and all these other things. So let's back up. Verse 31. It says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Yeah, right? I mean, these are the things that we've got to have, right? I've got to have a house. I've got to have some clothes to wear. And I've got to have something to eat. So surely it's okay for me to seek after those things and those be a primary focus in my life. No, that's not what He says. He says, these are all the things that the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's like, I know that you need those things. But those, even those important things should not come ahead of Me. He says, those are the kinds of things that the Gentiles primarily seek after. But you seek first after the kingdom of heaven. You know, and as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, this is a short list of things that I've tended to seek after, thinking that those were okay for me to seek after those things in a way that I think in a lot of ways distracted me from the Lord. I need to be seeking Him first, and He'll provide those things, and I need to trust Him to do that. I need to have the faith that He will do that. Now, other things besides food and drink and housing that I have sought after, and I think those things got in the way of me seeking after God. And some of these things I actually thought were seeking after God. But it turns out I think that they weren't. Seeking after God is just that simple. It's seeking Him and nothing else. Now, one of those things that I sought after was church. I was seeking after opportunities to minister, opportunities to teach, those sorts of things. And those things became an end of themselves. Those were the things that I was seeking after. And when I got the opportunity to teach, I thought I had accomplished seeking after God, when really I wasn't. What I was doing many times was that I was seeking after the approval of men rather than just seeking after Him. And then taking the opportunities that He gives me to teach. Another thing that I sought after, that I thought was seeking after Him, but I think really wasn't, was seeking after knowledge. I spent a lot of time thinking that the end was knowing things about Him. That was what was important. And if I knew enough stuff about Him, that I would know Him. And that is not the same thing. You know, there are a lot of people that I know a lot of things about, but I don't know them at all. You know, a good example would be like professional players. Now, you can go online and you can see all their stats. You know, people that get into fantasy football and baseball and stuff like that, you can know every kind of stat about a baseball player that there is. I mean, they got stats, all kinds of stuff. You can know about, and you can look up, you know, like online where they're from and who their family is and where they went to school and, you know, things that happened early on in their life. You can learn all kinds of stuff about them, but you don't know that person at all. And it is so easy for us when we go to church to learn, or when we go to the Bible study to learn, or just when we take out our Bible to learn, or when we read books to learn, that just the learning of knowledge and information is not the same thing as seeking after Him. We've talked about before how, you know, it should all be really simple. And the simple thing about this life, and we say it all in different ways, and all these different ways that we say it are just different ways of saying the same thing. And we talk about things like, you know, take up your cross and follow me. We talk about things like watch and pray. And we talk about all these things. And all those things are really different ways of saying the same simple thing. And saying seek the Lord is just another way of saying that. This life that we are to live for Him is a simple life. It's about us and Him. And too often times we make it about all these other things that really aren't very important. We can allow our lives to get caught up in seeking after providing for our basic needs: house, clothing, food. But all that stuff is going to burn up. It's all temporary. The thing that's eternal, the thing that really matters, is that seeking after Him. We can get caught up in seeking after, you know, church things, doing all the right things. Going to church, doing these things, and those things become an end in themselves. The end has to always be God.
Amen.
It has to always be a seeking after Him. And in the process of seeking after Him, He will take care of all these things, whether it's ministry things, whether it's basic needs things, no matter what it is, He'll take care of those, and He'll put those things in the place that we need if we will seek Him. And when we seek Him, we have to seek Him in faith. We have to seek Him really believing that He is, and that He really wants us to know Him. And that He will reward us if we will diligently seek Him. And that the reward, I think too often times we think that the reward is going to be things like houses and clothes and money and health and whatever. It's not. The reward is Him.
That's right.
And that's it. And He may bless us with all those other things as well, but that's not the reward. The reward that He will give us is Him. And we need to seek Him diligently while He may be found. We need to seek Him with all of our heart, and with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And we need to seek Him just because
We want him.